I'll just read that verse from Revelation chapter 4. It says, in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in the back. The first creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third had the face of a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Ezekiel had a similar vision of these four living creatures. And they're in the center of the throne, right? Almost the pinnacle of God's creation. You can't get closer to God than these four living creatures were. And we don't know exactly why God organizes his angels as he does. He gives ones different degrees of glory. But these are the closest to the throne of God. And we can learn from them that if we want to live close to the throne of God, these are the role models. These have the characteristics that we need to aspire to if we want to be in that position and live in that position. Last time I talked on this, we were thinking of the lion and how God has called us to be bold as a lion. We were thinking of Jesus, the Lion of Judah. And of course, Jesus is the epitome of all four of these. You know, he's the great lion, he's the Son of Man, he's the greatest prophet when we think of the eagle. Today we're thinking of the ox. And the oxen in the Bible days, they used to plow, you know, they put the yoke on them. And Jesus, of course, said, come to me, all you who are weary, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And Jesus is the sacrificial oxen. He as the ox, you know, we're yoked together with Jesus. And as we walk through life, he's there carrying the yoke with us, pulling so that we don't have to pull, carrying our burdens, walking step by step and helping with us. When I was thinking about what to say about this, you know, the ox, I actually had to admit, I wasn't quite sure what an ox was. You know, what's the difference between an ox and a cow?
Oxtail soup.
Oxtail soup, yeah, it's not a joke. It sounds like a joke, isn't it? What's the difference between an ox and a cow? But I read up on it.
That's true.
And I'm now going to tell you all that I know about ox and cows. So actually, apparently, according to various encyclopedias I looked in, the only difference between ox and cow, it's not that one is a special breed, you know, a special type, but the oxen are cows that have been trained for work, basically. So you could have a brother and a sister calf, and the sister would become, or could become, a milking cow, and the brother could become an ox. So they're cows that are set apart and trained in a particular way. Usually they're male calves that are neutered, and then they become ox. And they're bred specifically for working. Now, we don't really use oxen these days in our country. We tend to use tractors. But in the old days, and still today in 3/4 of the world, they actually use oxen. This isn't working. It's probably because I haven't turned it on. And so there we are in Cambodia today. There's oxen pulling a cart. And very often you'll see oxen pulling plows. And, you know, in the ancient world and in much of the world today, they don't use horses, because horses are like the equivalent of Ferraris when it comes to cars. You know, horses are much more expensive, first to buy, and then also to look after, because a horse takes a lot of feeding and they have much more delicate health, and also they're harder to manage, you know, whereas cows are much more common, easier to breed, easier to look after, and they're much more stable. And so in most of the world today, in Africa and India, Asia, it's a bit different in India, but they use the ox, and they breed the ox to work. So if we could just have, yeah, here's a British pair of oxen. Don't they look splendid? Look, the comfortable padded yoke. It's a bit different, isn't it? Like there's no comfort for the oxen in the third world, but there they have this beautiful shaped yoke. But they're very strong. And they're very stable, and they just walk up and down ploughing the field. We've got a little video clip. Jez, if you just minimize that PowerPoint and put the video clip up, just a 30-second clip. If we can do that. It's on VLC at the bottom. Do you want me to help you? Oh, great technology. Sorry. Perhaps we'll miss that clip. Okay. It was a clip of oxen ploughing, which was great, but we won't have that one. Okay, so if you'd have watched that clip, you'd have seen the guy in the Himalayas region ploughing with oxen, and he has different sounds that make the oxen do different things. You know, so when they're going straight, he says one sound, and then when it comes to time to turn, then he changes the sound, and the oxen know then it's time to turn. And so they're very clever, oxen. They're very humble. They're very obedient, unlike the mule. And I think, you know, sometimes as believers, we're a bit like this, aren't we? We're stubborn, like the mule. And God says, I want you to do this. Or the pastor says, please can we have someone to help with this? And the thing about the oxen is that, you know, and that's why they're so popular really around the world, that oxen just do it. They just humbly, gently get on and do what they have to do. And for them, they can spend all day long just going up and down the field. The next day they get up, they up and down the field, pulling the carts, just working. Their nature is just to obey and just to work. They don't say no to their master, unlike the mule. And, you know, people that are like oxen are so valuable in the church, because there's always work to do. Today we really miss Jill, and you know, it doesn't sound like a compliment saying that she's like an ox. It's perhaps a good job she's not here, but in the right way. Yeah, it is recorded. Jill is, you know, such a fantastic example of this characteristic, because, you know, every Sunday, 7:30, she's here. And she's praying. And she's setting out the chairs. And she's preparing the communion. And she's just getting everything ready, walking around the room, getting the atmosphere of heaven into the place. And, you know, the ox is not like a dog or a cat that needs a lot of attention. Some animals, you have to pet them and, you know, they have to be the center of attention. But the ox isn't like that. It just, unnoticed, gets up and does its work day after day. It's always the same. It's just strong, reliable, always there. And you know, the church is built on people like that. Not everyone is flashy. Not everyone excels on the big stage when everyone's looking at them. But the actual work of the church is built with on people, you know, with that characteristic like Jill has got, that just get up in the morning and go to work, just do the job, not flashy, but just strong and always there. And I just really praise God for giving us someone like Jill to help us. The ox is strong. And I just want to ask you the question, how strong are you? How much spiritual weight do you carry? Are you blown around by the winds of life? Things get hard, do you change? Are you like a leaf blown in the wind? Or are you like the ox that just keeps going on? And then some people are like chameleons. You know, they blend in unnoticed in their surrounding. Like the deer, I had to put a red arrow there, otherwise you might not be able to see it. Do you know, a lot of Christians are like that in the world. And the scripture says we have to be a Greek to the Greek and the Romans to the Romans, but that's talking about culture, not about values. Jesus said that we should be like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, that we should light our lamp and place it on the lampstand so that it could give light to everyone in the house. And we're not called to blend into the world and be unnoticed, to be invisible. We're called to be more like this. Oxen can't hide. They're not very good at camouflage. You talk about the elephant in the room. Well, it should be a bit like that with Christians. You know, Jesus was always the elephant in the room, in a way. Somehow, whatever situation he came into, he was shining out the love and the power and the presence of God. He didn't blend in unnoticed ever. He was like the ox that is big and strong and impossible to hide. Why is the ox so strong? Because it eats a lot. And it says in Proverbs chapter 14, I'm sure you all know this scripture, where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. In other words, you know, they're expensive to keep. You know, if you have an ox, you have to keep on feeding it. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. So if you have the ox, then it works and it works, and you can actually get a big harvest, much more than that ox will eat. An ox eats 90 pounds of food every day. That's a bit more than a dog, isn't it? You know, that little whatever, I don't know how much food a dog eats, but 90 pounds of food every day. It drinks between 5 to 7 gallons of water a day. The ox spends 6 hours a day eating grass. But that's not the end. Because, as we know, you know, it eats the grass and it goes down into its first stomach, which is called the rumen, which holds the partially digested grass. And then it regurgitates it. And it spends 8 further hours every day chewing the cud. So, in fact, the ox is actually eating 14 hours every day. What a picture for you and me as a Christian. You know, if we spent hours every day feeding ourselves with the Word of God and the presence of God, how strong would we be? We maybe read our Bible for 5 minutes or 10 minutes a day. We just swallow it down and it disappears. We need to become like the ox that spends that time. It takes it down and then it brings it up again and chews it to get more value out of the word. You know, don't just read the word, meditate on the word. Each morning, spend time with God, with your Bible. Read what the word says. Read it through and then prayerfully read it again. That's like the ox chewing the cud. Read it through, asking God, God, what do you want to say to me through this? How is this like me? What can I learn from this? And you chew it over 2 or 3 times. And as you do so, God speaks more and you get more goodness from that same piece of grass. If we don't feed ourselves enough, we'll never grow to be big and strong like the ox. When I was growing up as a kid, you know, I was always one of the taller ones. And I had this friend who was a little skinny rascal, you know, like the paradigm sort of small, skinny kid that was always into where he shouldn't be in because he was so small he could sort of sneak in and sneak out. And he was just small, thinny and weak, really. And he joined the Navy. And off he went, and I didn't see him for about a year. And when he came back, he looked a completely different person. Because he'd done, you know, all the army training. So I don't know how long they do it, but they're running up and down with rifles and packs and weights and training. And they eat a lot and they train a lot. He came back, he was almost twice the size. I mean, not in height, but literally in width. He'd put on so much weight and just pure muscle and strength. He was the same guy, but because of his eating and his working, he'd become very strong. And God calls us to be like the ox that eats a lot, works a lot. How strong are your spiritual muscles? Often you don't know how strong your muscles are until you have to try and lift something. And in the spiritual way, the problem is that when you actually have to lift something, then it's too late to develop your muscles. If you don't have the muscles already, then you won't be able to make the lift. So suddenly one of your children falls sick and might die. Then you discover whether you have spiritual muscles. Then you discover whether you really can pray and see that prayer answered. Then you discover whether you have faith that God is with you and that God will overcome in every situation or not. Don't wait till the crisis before getting your spiritual strength, because it's too late in the crisis to get your muscles. And so you need to do like the ox every day. Eat a lot, work a lot, eat a lot, work a lot. Read your Bible, pray. Build up those spiritual muscles so that there will never be any problem that you don't have the strength to win. It says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That's like the ox. Now, the ox might not have the most exciting life of every animal. You know, its life, you could say, is a little bit repetitive. I don't know, oxes look happy to me. But, yeah, it's playing, isn't it? Yeah. What about the man? What we do? Yeah. Jesus' last command to his disciples was this: go into all the world and enjoy yourself. I'm reading from a different version. Have fun. Don't work too hard. Make sure you look after yourself and that you have a comfortable and secure life. Try to influence people wherever you can, so long as it doesn't cause too much discomfort to yourself or too much aggravation to them. That's a good verse, isn't it? Do you like that verse? It's from the Apocryphal Gospel according to Snoopy. It's very often how the Western Church lives. Go into all the world and enjoy yourself. I mean, you know, people live for that, don't they? Have fun. Don't work too hard. Make sure you look after yourself. Make sure you have a comfortable and secure life. Try to influence people where you can, but don't cause them yourself too much comfort and don't cause them too much aggravation. Jesus actually said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. So the ox, his life is repetitive. He does the same things every day. And I think of this scripture, this has stopped working now as well, which says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Did you know that you're a priest? You're a priest. If you're a believer, that's who you are. You're a priest. So you're either a good, hard-working priest or you're an ineffective priest. But you are a priest. And what was a priest? What did a priest do? Well, I have a slide which you can't see of a priest. You know, priests also, like the cow, didn't blend into the background. Priests had special clothes, but it was more their work that they had to do. Every day they had to offer sacrifices, you know, the morning and the evening sacrifice. They had their special hours of prayer. They lived according to the clock. They had a routine every day. They'd get up and they'd just walk and they'd do this and that. They'd, you know, the same job every day. But their calling was to be between God and people. They were to be in the middle. They had to bring God to the people and they had to bring the people to God. That was what their calling was. And so just every day that they got up and they did that, they were priests, they did their offerings, they did their prayers, they did their worship. It was a repetitive job. But if they put their heart into it, it was a job that really made a difference. Now, I wonder if you live as a priest. I wonder if every day, once or twice or a few times at the set hours of prayer, you bring your people to God. Because we're responsible for those whom we live among. And do you bring God to the people that you live among? And I love the thought of ploughing, you know, the ox which ploughs. Because when you plough, you turn over the ground. Ground that is hard, that bake, you know, in the Middle Eastern sun, the ground bakes hard like concrete. It's like a stone. But when the ox comes with its plough, it turns it over and it breaks it up, and that hard ground becomes soft through the ploughing of the ox. And that's just how it is with our lives, you know, that in our personal life, in our quiet time, that as we plough Our hearts, you know, we spend time in the Word and in prayer. It breaks up the hardness. And in our communities as a priest, as we pray and as we gradually, you know, say little words here and there, it breaks up the hard ground. It makes it so that we can plant seeds and the seeds will grow and have a harvest. It says this in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow righteousness for yourself. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness upon you. I think everybody would love to be like the lion. Everyone would love to be like the prophetic eagle. We all aspire to be better, you know, as the human man or woman, but how many would aspire to be like the ox? And yet, closest to the throne of God, the highest of all the creatures, is this one with the face of the ox. I just want to finish with an old chorus. You'll probably, most of you know it. It was written by an Indian preacher called Sadhu Sundar Singh, who you perhaps heard of. You know, he faced so much persecution for his faith. He was thrown out of his village and he wandered around from place to place, often stoned and beaten. He had a difficult life. But he wrote this chorus and put it to music. I have decided to follow Jesus. And then he said it again. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Just like the ox, isn't it? Just the same thing. This is my decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. And then the next verse, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. And the last verse, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. We don't sing songs like that so much these days. But I wonder if that's one of the reasons why we're not as strong as we used to be. You know, when I was a young Christian, people would come to early morning prayer meetings and they'd read their Bible every day. We were brought up doing that. These days it's more, you know, receive and the lovely feelings of the Holy Spirit. But we need people to have the strength of an ox if we're going to see this community and this nation run for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this simple message. It's a challenge for each of us, Lord. Would you make us stronger? Help us to feed ourselves with the wonderful provision that you've given us, the Word of God. Help us to grow big and strong. Give us that determination to keep on. And on, and on, and on. Plowing up the hard ground in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. Make us like the ox. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, thank you for coming. And for those that are free, we look forward to see you tonight.